It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of cannabis. And have your specific questions answered by emailing jennifer@cannabama.com or text or call 343-0106. And now, for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer. Welcome to the show. I think the microphone was a little slow to come on. I am Jennifer Boozer Stewart. Sorry, honey, I really am getting it. You're listening to Sweet Home Cannabama every Monday night on FM Talk 106.5, and we're live streaming right now from Facebook, Instagram, X, YouTube, and LinkedIn. So if you are watching from social media, hit that share button and share it with your family and friends. We've got a lot of information to cover and a really nice guest I'm excited to talk to tonight. I want to go ahead and just get into it. You can find us on the Googles and all the things. I think y'all are sick of hearing me repeat the same thing every week. So we're going to go ahead and get in here. We've got some serious issues that have come up. Just today, there was a lot in the press about the Supreme Court getting ready to decide whether Americans who regularly use cannabis can own firearms. So now they're trying to decide whether or not people who regularly use cannabis, and this is based on a case out of Texas, where the guy just admitted that he was a regular cannabis user. There was no weed involved in his arrest or anything, but he admitted that he was a regular cannabis user, and now they're trying to charge him with a felony gun charge. And so the Supreme Court is supposed to hear that. Obviously, it's not constitutional to pick and choose. You know, if the Second Amendment truly says shall not be infringed, then why are millions of responsible adults being stripped of their rights over a plant that's legal in half the country? You can own a gun after you buy a six pack. So why not a THC gummy that you take for pain? You know, this is just getting out of hand, all the ways they're trying to sabotage the access of people to the plant, whether it is the hemp plant, you know, and again, these are legal terms. It's all the same thing. Whether they call it medical, whether they call it recreational, you know, rescheduled, descheduled, there are just so many people trying to sabotage it for different reasons. And it all comes down to power and money as usual. So we will let you know when the Supreme Court has made that decision. Literally 2 minutes before the show started, I got a text message that said the Alabama law enforcement agency went into a shop here in Mobile today and seized all the hemp vapes and culinary flour. I don't have any other info. I don't know who the shop owner is, what the shop was. I don't know why it happened. I don't know if anyone was arrested. And if you're not familiar with the term culinary flour, you know, when 445 was passed, it banned any raw product or plant material marketed as smokable, which is why you can't get it in a pre-roll or a cigar or anything like that anymore. And if you have been able to buy plant material, it's being called culinary hemp because, and the labels are very clear, it's not smokable. Smoking it is illegal in Alabama. But you can also break down that flour and decarb it and make butter. You can cook with it. You can make your own topicals. You can make your own tinctures and things like that. And that is how it has been sold in some shops lately. But apparently someone in Mobile has an issue with that. When I have more information, I will let you guys know and see if we can find out the details and get some information. If you're a store owner, this is one of the many reasons why Cannabama got closed, because I was not going to wait around and let these vague rules and these, oh, well, my DA says it's okay, and then Aaliyah show up and try to, you know, jam me up criminally. I can't afford a criminal lawyer. I don't want to go to jail, and I do not look good in orange, okay? Not happening. I am too much. I like my freedom, and I am not going to allow them to sully my reputation because yours truly is the one who's here every week. We don't break the law. We don't want to break the law. We want to create laws that we can use to enforce, to keep our our colleagues in line so that the people that are going to push the limits are going to be punished, and we are not, and set ourselves apart from that. So I'm certainly not going to allow them to come in and go, oh, well, this is what we really meant, so here you go. I just, this makes me sick. And the big news this week is that Friday night we finally got the new rules and regulations that apply to HB 445 from the ABC board. Like I said before, the bill is incredibly vague in a lot of areas. A lot of the language that's used is incredibly confusing, and no one's ever, you know, no one's been able to tell us anything definitive for all these months since the bill passed, especially not the ABC board. But they came out with some rules and made a big bad problem worse. I'm going to read some of the rules, the ones that kind of stuck out to me. I was discussing it with the Alabama Cannabis Coalition group, and these are some of the rules that really stuck out. They have removed the additional childproof caps on the drinks. That's a good thing. Stating that the pull tab, if it's good enough for beer, it's good enough for hemp, I guess. And then they removed the requirement that stores have a locked refrigerator. I think the grocery stores, the bigger grocery stores, didn't want to have an employee dedicated to that one area. So they've done away with that. But those are the only favors that I saw. You need a signed letter of approval from the town that you want to do business in or that you are doing business in. There are some towns in Alabama that have already imposed a one-year moratorium on any new ABC licenses. So even established shops who have been doing business in those towns for years will not be able to continue to do business January 1st because their city will not allow them to get a license. You cannot advertise outside of the business, and you cannot have any signage indicating what's inside the business. Why? You know, why the liquor store down the street has a backlit sign with bottles and it's called whatever liquor store, you know? So why is that different for us? I'm not sure if I still did own my shop, if that would apply to this radio show, because you could call this marketing. And also my potential, any potential sponsors or advertisers for this show would not be allowed to do that. So I take that one very personally. And then packaging cannot contain, this is a really dumb one. The packaging cannot contain imagery for personal items such as clothing, cell phones, earbuds, and ink pens. And I would love it if anybody out there listening or watching has ever seen a package of cannabis product, a drink, a gummy, whatever, with an ink pen on the packaging or a set of earbuds or something like that's not even a thing. I don't even understand who came up with that and why. But I'm sure it costs the state of Alabama lots of money to come to that conclusion. There are different license types now that'll limit what you can sell where. There are new square footage requirements for retailers. I know one dispensary in northern Alabama is only 200 square feet. The minimum is 500 now for some reason. Again, that has nothing to do with public safety. And to be considered a grocery store, you have to be more than 14,000 square feet. It's just all these arbitrary rules. The $25,000 surety bond you have to have before you even apply. And it approves the ABC board to do random searches and checks. And this is the one that burns me slap up. Random searches and checks, and creates a monthly meeting to punish and prosecute anyone they believe that is outside of the rules. And it says in any investigation, all evidence will be destroyed, whether the individual is found guilty or not. So if one of your competitors decides they're going to mess with you and report that you're selling something you shouldn't, they can legally come in. Again, remember, 445 gave them the ability to do it without a warrant. And they can do it at random, and they can take everything you have. And whether or not you've done a single thing wrong, they will destroy all of your inventory, which will, trust me, will destroy you financially. It strictly bans any lounges, public consumption, samples, giveaways, or events hosted by hemp companies, meaning no more 420, no more giving away product to sober living facilities where they're trying to get people off drugs like we did for years. No more letting someone who is on a low budget, giving them a free sample, or someone who is unsure of what they need, give them a free sample. Giveaways that we've done on the show. None of that would be allowed. And then you all are also going to be required to submit all of your inventory data and tax information every month to the ABC board. So you go on the county, the city, the state, you pay the taxes, all that. You got to now report that info to the ABC board. Then you got to tell them all the inventory you have on hand for that month, which nobody asks for. And they have a yearly review process they can deny you at the beginning of every year. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk to somebody who wants to help us fix this. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. I just want to say I read off all these new ABC rules, and sorry I had to kind of go through them really fast. If you have any questions, hit me up, JenniferBooserStewart@gmail.com. You can find me at Jennifer Booser Stewart on Facebook. You can follow the Alabama Cannabis Coalition. We're trying our best to keep up with that. And yes, and thank you, Marty, for letting me know about the Supreme Court thing so I could add that in. Tonight, I want to introduce our guest. His name is J.R. Bowling, and he is endorsed by the Alabama Cannabis Coalition and Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. For State Senate in District 4, he is a volunteer firefighter, a manufacturing plant manager, small business supporter, and a voice for the people. He's running for the Alabama State Senate District 4 to bring real reform and real results. Y'all, be patient with me. So I want to introduce our guest tonight is J.R. Bowling. J.R., welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right, well, let's get into this. Tell us who you are. What do you do? Let us get to know you a little bit.
All right. I'm 47, married with two kids, my wife and I. We've been married for nearly 27 years.
Nice.
I've got a 15-year-old and a soon-to-be 13-year-old here in just a few weeks. Of course, he's 13 going on 30.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mine are just a few years older than that, but I've been there and done that.
So between teaching one to drive and, you know, trying to teach the other one that he doesn't know everything in the world, you know, it's a little challenging. But
right.
Other than that, I'm a plant manager. I started my career right out of high school in manufacturing. I started as a helper in a plant called Wolverine Tube in Decatur, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked my way up. I was the youngest and highest paid multi-craft maintenance mechanic in the plant, which,
nice.
Now don't get me wrong, there was other guys made the same thing I did, but I was the youngest out of all of them.
Right.
And so I worked there till the plant closed and then kind of moved through life, owned a trucking company for a little while, worked for the government, and then essentially ended up back in manufacturing, where I went back in as a mechanic, ended up as a plant manager, went back to college in my 40s, got a degree. And then I come back local and took over the plant that I'm managing now. So,
well,
I
so
spent
you,
about
you've
three
got
years
a,
in Nashville.
You've got a really broad scope of experience then, you know. You've been on the blue-collar side. You've worked with the government. You know, you've owned your own business. And you went and got educated. My mom went to college when I was 8 years old. So I understand, you know, going through that with her. That she decided to go and be a teacher. So I commend you for doing that with small kids, because that is not easy.
Yeah, and it was right around COVID. So.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow, yeah. So, COVID made everything harder.
It did. Well, they had shut schools down, so I was having to juggle going into work late, had to redo my schedule. Me and my wife was having to swap up.
Right.
You know, so somebody was at home with the kids while they were here. So
yes.
It was a trying time, but we made it.
Yes, my son was a senior, and they missed all of those last activities, prom and senior breakfast and all the things that happen at the end of your senior year. He did not get to do any of those things. So, you know, and then my daughter, who was 6 years younger, she was in middle school and staying at home. It was a very weird time, especially as a business owner, having to run around, because at that time I had stores in Montgomery and Hoover too. And thanks to COVID, I was relieved of those burdens. But, you know, it is. It's hard to juggle all that stuff. Well, so let's get into this. You are running for state senate in District 4. Tell us what area of the state that is in.
That is Coleman, Winston, and Marion counties.
Okay, okay.
Three counties in my district.
All right, and tell me, why do you want to run for state senate?
Well, you know, this is weird. People kind of look at me. I hate politics and I hate politicians. That's why I'm, that's part of
me
why.
Me too,
I'm,
man.
We have to have real people, people that have, you know what it's like, knows the value of a dollar, right?
Right.
And has had to stretch a dollar to pay their bills.
Right.
You know, if you haven't had to choose between paying your house payment and buying groceries or paying a power bill,
yep.
I'm sorry, but you don't know what it's like to be in our shoes, right?
You don't know what it's like for the average citizen in Alabama, because even the citizens of Alabama who are doing better than average, it's a very low bar. It's a very, very low bar. So to say you're above average in Alabama isn't saying really anything at all.
Hey, that's one of the things that I say this when it comes to like medical coverage, right?
Mm-hmm.
The things that affect us the most is taxes and insurance, right?
Yep.
So I don't care how well off you think you are, how well you think you've planned for the future, the way the current system's set up, you're one accident away from losing everything.
Yep.
Because that medical bill will take everything away from you. So
right. Well, and that, you know, insurance is so expensive and going up so fast. You know, I shared my story about how I finally got insurance, and it was $700 a month, and I never even got a chance to use it before I could no longer afford it. You know, and it's scary to be in your late 40s walking around with no health insurance, even though I am very much allergic to going to the doctor's offices. I spent my 20s and 30s, you know, going to see my drug dealer in a white coat and being cut on and cut on and cut on. So I'm very averse to doing it. But, you know, just like you said, if I were to have an accident without even any coverage, I'm done. I'm cooked.
Yeah, you know? we've got to do something. You know, used to, if you went to the hospital, you got one bill from the hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now they've got it to where you go to the hospital, you'll get 50 separate bills, and 49 of those people you never saw.
Right.
And plus, it's not on a timeline. So, just an example, I was in the hospital in October of 24. I ended up getting another bill. Thought all the bills was paid, because I have a health savings account, right? So you're not allowed to spend out of that for last year's medical needs after a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I get a bill in June from a doctor I never heard of.
Wow.
So and I couldn't use my health savings account at that point. I had to pay out, you know, directly out of my pocket. So
right.
We have to put some protections in there that says if you can't bill in a timely fashion, and I really think all the bills need to go through the facility like they used to. That
right.
way, working families pay one copay, and that's it.
Right. I had an experience once that blew my mind. I was in the hospital, and during rounds, my doctor came in to see me and did nothing, just stood there with his hands in his pockets talking to me. But three of his partners were also with him. Don't know why. They never spoke. Nothing. Again, nothing was done. They never spoke to me. They were just standing in the room. I got a bill from all four of them for a couple hundred dollars each for a hospital visit. All four of them.
Yep.
And that's there's a whole lot of we could unpack there about the corruption in the medical institutions, because medicine is a business just like anything else. And just like anything else, you know, we freely admit that there are always going to be bad actors in our industry and in any industry. There's always going to be people who push the limits, who break the rules. And that applies to medicine as well. I mean, I just saw that one of the doctors that used to give me, you know, scores of pills I didn't need, who was in prison already, is now going back to court for fraud again, trying to change his name. You know, and so there's a lot of corruption there, too. You know, the whole medical system in itself needs to be swept clean, because this ain't it, you know, and watching state senators bully midwives who are just trying to help people in communities that don't have any help. You know, there's a lot of different issues surrounding the way we do medicine, especially here in Alabama.
Yep, and that's why we need honest, hardworking people in office. People that represent us, not the big lobbyists, not, you know, all the other industries, right? If you follow the money, go back and look at every candidate, you can tell who owns them.
Yes,
people give you $50,000, $100,000 at a time. They don't give you $10,000 at a time unless they're looking for something.
Right.
You can get your smaller packs, people that are really trying to make a difference.
Right.
You can take small donations for those. They're looking for just a voice. They're not looking for a favor.
Right.
But when they hand you $25,000, $100,000, they're looking for favors. They're not looking for, you know, to be a voice for their industry.
Right. If they were just trying to be charitable, they probably wouldn't give it to an individual with a full career and hoping to get money from the state as an elected official, you know. Those people don't usually need the money. They just don't want to spend their own money on their campaign. Am I right?
That's right. And see, everybody used to say, well, they're paid under the table, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a foregone. That term doesn't work.
Nope.
If you want to see how your elected officials are bought and paid, look at their campaign accounts.
Yep.
They can have that money. They can raise money all year long. Where me as a candidate, I can only raise money a year prior to a primary.
Yeah.
They can take donations all 12 months except for the blackout period during the legislative session, right?
Right.
And they can take that money. They can go spend $5,000 at the local steakhouse, take all their buddies out to eat, pay for it out of their campaign funds.
And call it an event, yeah.
And call it an event. They can go to their church, give them $25,000. The church thinks that they're being good to them. They're giving them a donation, right?
Mm-hmm.
The churches only knew that money come from the alcohol lobbyists. You know, if they knew where that money was coming from and it was strictly to buy their support,
right,
they wouldn't accept it.
Right.
They don't understand how it works. So if you want to know how the corruption begins, look at people's campaign accounts and how they use their money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a compass point to true north, right?
Right.
All you have to do is follow the money.
Well,
plain and simple.
Just like I'll use Tommy Tuberville as an example of someone who doesn't have any, you know, any real funded competition. There's no other Republican running against him. Everyone claims he's just going to walk right into it, and yet he's been raising over $5 million. For what? Why does he need $5 million in campaign donations? You know, I mean, what would you do with that money? I don't understand. I mean, you know, I get that everybody's going to campaign, but I mean, there are certain people. There's a lot of people running for office for re-election that don't have an opponent. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more with J.R. Bowling for State Senate District 4. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sweet Home Cannabama here every Monday night at 7 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5 and live streaming from YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, and LinkedIn. If you're watching, hit that share button. We need to spread the word so the people of Alabama know what's happening to them, how they're going to get in trouble again, because there's always a new way to get in trouble here. And what to do about it, who to contact about it. I think everybody needs to go on ahead and start flexing your email fingers and your phone dialers, because your legislators need to hear from you now. Don't wait until the session to start talking about it. Let them know now that this is not acceptable. JR, we were talking before about medicine and things like that. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what is your campaign platform? What issues besides that are important to you?
So low taxes, you know, eliminating the state income tax. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Kentucky can do it, Alabama can do it.
Right. Another poor state, taxes, yeah.
You know, for your primary residence, I'm excited to see what Florida does with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sad. We have all these states around us that are actually cutting government for their, you know, for their citizens.
Right.
We need to look into what they're doing, see what was successful, and start modeling some of our legislation after them, you know, what the successes they've had.
Right.
We need to have a voice back in government.
Yes.
You know, we need to elect the working class, not the political class.
Yes,
We need to send a message to Montgomery that the citizens of Alabama, we're tired. Mm-hmm. We're ready to have a voice. We're ready to have true representation, right? The list goes on. We could talk all night. But,
yeah. Point about taxes, one of the things, you know, I'm from Louisiana and moved here as an adult. So one of the, besides when I learned as a business owner that every piece of furniture, every piece of electronic equipment, every shelf, everything that I own within the store that helps me run it, I have to pay property taxes on that every year. So if I have a desk for 30 years in my business, I'm paying taxes on it decades after the, you know, decades more money for in taxes to have it in that room than I actually paid for the desk. And you multiply that times everything in your business. But the biggest one that I've always been just totally flabbergasted over is when you go to register your car, every year you have to pay taxes on that.
Mm-hmm. We're taxed to death.
That is, in Louisiana, you buy your car, you pay your sales taxes, and the only other thing you pay as far as that goes is every year, every other year, you go get an inspection sticker. I know y'all don't have those here, but it's a little sticker. You go to a designated station, and it's every oil change place in every city, and they check that your headlights work, your brake lights work, your windshield wipers, your mirrors are correct. And they give you a sticker that has the next year on it, just like the little number sticker on our license plates here. And so when a cop drives by and sees your sticker is current, then they leave you alone. If it's not, they're going to pull you over and give you a ticket. But paying sales taxes on your vehicle over and over, that's insanity to me. Because the car is they know the car has already gone down in value anyway, and most of us are financing cars we can't really afford in the first place, you know, and that's crazy to me that they would take the money that way. And don't they realize that if we don't have to pay that in taxes, we're going to pay it into the community. We're going to spend money. We're going to spend money on all the things that people spend money on, and that will be taxed on its own anyway. The state will thrive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're reevaluating our property taxes here on an annual basis now.
Right.
So, I'm going to say made-up house values.
Oh, absolutely.
During COVID, people were paying three times as much for a house. That's inflated house values, right?
Right.
So now I'm paying taxes on your opinion that now my house is worth three times what it was,
right?
A couple years ago. So now they're jumping it up. I think it was 7%. Don't hold me to that. I know there's a percentage now that they're by law. They're allowed to raise your taxes every year. So Alabama is doing that. That's another bill that our legislature passed.
Yep.
Okay, they're passing bills that hurt Alabamians.
Right.
And that really frustrates me. You know, they have such an opportunity to make a positive impact in people's lives.
Right.
But instead, they squander it away on selfish interest, on the interest of the lobbyists and the people that donate to them, instead of helping the good citizens of Alabama.
Right.
It's really frustrating.
Well, and I hope that the voting booth will start to become the great equalizer here, because even though we are largely ignored, I mean, I've met some amazing legislators. I've met some people like you who are real people who are up there and who are willing to do what's right, but they are far too few. And yeah. I think that at the end of the day, though, we still get to go and vote. The biggest problem I see is that some of the worst offenders are not having anyone run against them.
That's right. And that happened in 22.
Mm-hmm.
Just about everybody in the legislature had zero.
Senator Melson didn't have an opponent.
Neither did the senator that I'm running against. Yeah. Zero opposition.
Right.
So now, you know, when he become the Senate pro tem, the first thing out of his mouth was, "I'm the third most powerful man in the state."
Mm. Wow.
Okay. I'm sorry if that's the first thing that comes out of your mouth and you think that's a bragging point.
Right.
You're in the wrong position.
Right. It's called public service for a reason. You're supposed to represent exactly. The people who live in the district where you were elected. You're supposed to go to them and say, "What can I do for you?" Or here's a bill or a law or a situation. What would you have me do? And then you let them vote. And that's another thing. In Alabama, the only thing we get to vote for is people. And again, at the end of the day, you're not really voting for people if no one's opposed.
That's right. And so that's what brought me into running for senator. This wasn't something that I wanted to do. This is something I felt led to do.
Right.
We had a unique situation where both of our state reps had resigned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we had zero representation in the House. And then our senator passed SB 322 that was dubbed the Smith Lake bill.
Mm-hmm.
And he done that under the cover of darkness without any representation in the House in Coleman County. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then he turns around, that gets exposed by county commissioner. They actually pass a resolution to oppose it. They go to Montgomery and he basically tells them to go home. It's a done deal. So then when the, you know, public like me finds out about it, he gets on a video on Facebook. You can look it up.
I saw it. He was sitting on the porch steps.
Says,
I saw it.
He says, "You don't know what's, even though you basically, you don't know what's good for you, but I do, so I'm passing this bill.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best thing for the county, okay?" I'm sorry, but no politician's ever going to tell me they know what's best for me, and they know better than I do, right?
Right.
But when I watched that video, my wife was sitting there, and she just gave me this look, and she, "Oh no," that sealed the deal. Now I'm running for state senate, right?
Yeah.
Because I will not, I refuse to have an elected official tell the people that he's supposed to represent that I know what's best for you. And you know that's what they're doing in Montgomery.
Right.
There's not all of them, like you said. There are a few good ones, and I know a few very, very good conservative people that are really out there. They're hard senate. They're passionate about helping people.
Yes.
But you know they're silent.
They are.
Tax, you know, it's like fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Right.
Well, the fool me once with this senator was the gas tax.
Right.
He went around and told everybody that if he didn't vote for the gas tax, Coleman County would get zero road dollars out of that. Coleman County has not benefited from the gas tax. I asked the county commission. Now, I asked them. I didn't go back and Google it, AI'd or nothing. I asked the county commissioner,
right,
have we seen any benefit from the gas tax? And I was point blank told no.
Yeah.
Okay? So that was the first lie.
Right.
All right, the second fool me is I'm going to pass SB 322. And
whether you like it or not, because I'm smarter than you and no. You don't know what's good for you.
So there's no third with me, so that's why I'm in the race. And we've got to have people that'll stand up. If you'll notice, we've had a couple things happen in Coleman recently. We had a bullying incident on a bus at one of the schools. I stood up and said, we need to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we've got a young mother in jail in Morgan County because she mentioned her ex-husband's name to a private investigator. Family court threw her in jail for 10 days. I raised my hand and I said, hey, this is an issue. You know, we've got to do something about this. Why is our politicians, when they hear, you know, that lady is actually a resident of my district.
Mm-hmm.
If I would have heard that as a senator, I would have been knocking on the courthouse door saying, excuse me, I better get some details on this.
Right, right.
Family court does not have the authority of a judge to squash anybody's civil rights, to tell anybody that you're taking away their freedom of speech.
Right.
So I actually created a law that would be Megan's Law that would bring transparency and, you know, to the family court system. So
right.
That's just one of the many things. People, our politicians, if it sounds controversial, they're not going to stand up for it because they're afraid to lose votes, right?
Right.
I think
that's
cares.
What happened with HB 445 is people
exactly.
still, because they have a lack of understanding and because they're being sold a bill of goods by a used car salesman that calls himself, you know, a House of Representatives, whatever, you know, he is, he got up there and told bald-faced lies, exaggerations. And it's stuff that we could prove. We just weren't given the opportunity to do it. But these people were sold a bill of goods. They have no frame of reference and no knowledge base to even know they're being sold a bill of goods. And because they don't want to oppose each other if they don't have to, oh, well, let's just vote for it. And
go
ahead.
It's like HB 445, right?
Mm-hmm.
If any of them would have lived through the things some of us have,
yes.
they would understand the medical benefits. We've got to get over this. We need to broaden our views on the medical uses, right?
Right.
I mean, I had a friend of mine. He passed away. It was opioid addiction. He had a bad back injury, and they got him hooked on opioids, right?
Yep.
A young father taken away from his young kids and his wife. Due to opioid addiction.
Right.
Well, he may be alive today if he would have had access to medical cannabis.
That's absolutely right.
Product.
I've seen it too many
right.
times. I've had too many of yep. my own experiences. I am 11 years clean at the end of this month from my own pain pill addiction, and it could have killed me many times, you know. And my dad accidentally overdosed on opiates while he was in cancer treatment, and I think about that every time, that I could have helped him. You know, I could have helped myself a lot sooner. Somebody else could have helped me if it wasn't such a, oh, weed is a gateway drug and, you know, you can't do that. It boggles me the things that you can get from a pharmacy that your doctor tells you to take, even in combination with each other, that can and will kill you without a doubt all day, every day, can and will kill you. And and yet they want to take away our gun rights if we admit, just say, I regularly use cannabis. That's enough to take my right to own a gun?
So you're going to do that to your veterans?
That's a very good point.
Are using hemp products and cannabis products for PTSD? So you're going to tell somebody that laid their life on the line for your country
right.
that they cannot have, they can't own a gun because they're seeking
right.
a safer alternative?
Right, right. We got to take
Not
a break.
Right.
When we come back, we're going to finish up with J.R. Bowling, running for state senate in District 4. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Tonight we've been talking with J.R. Bowling, who is running for state senate in District 4, which is the, you said Cullman County, Marion County, and what other county?
Winston.
Okay, that's one I had not heard of. And I've never been to Cullman, but I've met several people that are up there doing things, and maybe I need to come up for a visit sometime soon.
Yeah, come on up and visit us.
Well, so, you know, this is a cannabis show, so I want to make sure, is there any other major campaign issue that you want to discuss before we dive a little deeper into the cannabis weeds? Pardon the pun.
No, we can move on to that. People
okay.
can check out my, you know, Facebook page and kind of keep up with everything else. There's a lot of issues that are important to me.
There are.
Education.
Yeah.
Family, freedom. I mean, there's a lot of things that are important to me, and you know, but getting people access to safer alternatives on medicine,
yeah.
that's a very important part of it, too.
I think, too, I want to make sure that people don't miss the fact that I believe, just as you do, that real people with real families and real problems and real, you know, exposure to the poverty, the oppression, the corruption in Alabama, the reason we seem to have such complacency, you know, because people feel like there's nothing they can do as individuals. And I would like to say I beg to differ when it comes to voting, but we have to, A, have people run, and we have to, B, get out there and vote. The voting percentages on these last few elections have been just ridiculous, just so low. It's yep. sad. And compared to the number of keyboard warriors out there just pounding it out on Facebook and Instagram and everything else, you know, get up and do something, because, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results.
Yep.
So what, you know, just give me a off the top of your head, because we didn't discuss this, but, you know, what do you think about these new ABC rules? Did you hear all the things that I read earlier? I know I sent them to you.
Yeah. Well, in my opinion, the ABC board should be disbanded. They shouldn't be allowed to exist. They're in direct competition with small business. They have been for years.
Mm-hmm.
It's another way that Alabama is robbing its citizens. So
I agree.
I'm okay as ABC as a board. We do need an oversight board, but they don't need to mix industries.
Right.
You've got the alcohol industry oversight board should not be over the cannabis industry, just like it should be over the medical insurance industry, right?
Right.
You can't have one person over multiple industries, because then it becomes a conflict of interest.
Right.
If the state of Alabama is selling alcohol.
Right. So well, and that's a very good point. We know that the alcohol industry nationwide has suffered greatly in the last 6 years since hemp became legal and prolific in every state. And the great legalization experiment, I don't care who you are, they wanted to know what would happen if they brought it nationwide. So they called it hemp and let us go and created a free market. And I'm sorry, we knocked it out of the park. You know, you can focus on these supposed bad actors all you want to, but the rest of us are out here helping real people, you know, and we're real people. I have kids, you know, I have bills. And now I can't pay them. You know, my resume says 17 years at home with kids and 7 years selling hemp and doing radio, you know? Like, where am I going to get a job? But still, why should I have to look for a job? I had a business, and I was serving my community.
Right.
I was donating. I was showing up at events. This show, no one's ever paid me for this show. This came out of the pocket of Cannabama, which is me, you know? And we've provided so much free education that's benefited the entire industry and all of the people of Alabama and beyond that. You know, there's people watching right now from every state in the country. You know, but why should I have to go out and change that, you know? And because Alabama, the state of Alabama, has an interest in how much alcohol is sold or not, it is an incredible conflict of interest. It can't be ethical. It may not even be constitutional. Why would we trust that they would be fair or equitable in any way to another industry that directly impacts them? They're not going to do it. Alcohol has paid their bills for 100 years, and we don't have that kind of clout. We don't have that kind of money. We can't afford to buy legislators, and the alcohol industry can. But the fact that Alabama, I'm glad you brought that up. The fact that Alabama profits off of the sale of alcohol should disqualify the ABC board from being involved with hemp regulation, because every bit of these rules was written to make it even harder than 445 itself. And there's one reason for that, and that's to make sure that the liquor industry can take what it wants from us to pad that bottom line that they've lost. And they don't want any competition, and they see medicine for cancer patients and MS patients and self-harming autistic kids and seizure patients as competition for their weekend drinking, you know, and that's what makes me angry.
Yeah, they'd rather you kill your liver as, you know, save yourself.
And maybe
right?
kill your wife or somebody's family on the way home, you know. That never happens, and you pull somebody over and all they've had is a joint that day. That never happens, you know, and they've been out there lying about THC DUIs outnumber alcohol DUIs. That's not even a thing. That's just another thing they made up. And you sound stupid. Stop saying it, you know.
Well, you know, if you look back, it's rumored that a certain senator owns some interest in alcohol sales.
Mm-hmm.
And that same certain senator, everything that comes through on any kind of alcohol legislation, he's going to vote for.
Right.
So you've got people voting for their own interest. It's just like, I'll go ahead and throw it out there. Look at any gun laws, right?
Mm-hmm.
Read a gun law and see if there's not a disclaimer in there that says this does not apply to current or former law enforcement. Half of our legislature is made up of cops.
Right.
So why are they voting on legislation that exempts themselves? That's unconstitutional.
Right. Well, so I mean, but when you look around, they're the head of the line for this trough of feeding on the Alabama people within the prison system. The cops are making more punitive laws. I mean, look at the Class C felony involved for possession of a pre-roll now. You know, they've now made my 75-year-old customer who just needs help with his Parkinson's a felon, a man who never broke laws, who's lived a law-abiding life all this time, and he's elderly. But now, if he wants to continue to get what he got for 7 years, he's a felon. You know, and it's a continuous loop of feeding the prison system, and it starts with the law and law enforcement.
People went to bed law-abiding citizens, and they woke up felons.
Hey, that's why I shut it down. I refused to wake up on July 1st and be considered a felon. I'm not going to do it.
They've been trying to do that to the gun rights industry for years, right?
So
that's their go-to, and they don't see a problem with it where we do. So this is where we need to fight. And we have to stick together as a united front. I believe if we take Montgomery next year, we'll send a message.
Yeah.
We can right this ship. We can bring the ship back around for the people.
Well, and if you won't say it, I will. I know that the person you are running against, who is the current Senate pro tem, voted yes for HB 445. So he voted to pass HB 445 into law and create this situation. And I don't think, you know, anybody needs to say anything else about that, because you could take from it all there is to take. You know, they either want it or they didn't. And if anybody understood what they were doing, it was the third most powerful man in Alabama, in my opinion. So let's tell us where we can find you before we run out of time. I want to make sure everybody listening, especially in District 4, knows how to find you, how to donate to your campaign, and learn more about your platform.
All right. So go to JR for State Senate on Facebook. You can find me there. You can donate by doing – I always have to look at the number, right? JR for Senate 4. Text that to 888-444-8774. You can donate as little or as much as you like. You can make it a continuous donation, you know, $5 a month, whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a website. Just haven't looked at it in a while.
Well, and you can always reach out to me. I know how to get in contact with him for any reason. You can always reach out to me if you didn't get that phone number written down. Or want to know how to do that, you just let us know. Thank you so much, JR, for being here and being willing to be bold. I know that there are a lot of people that Marty particularly has reached out to through the Alabama Cannabis Coalition to ask them what their stance is, much less if they would like an endorsement. And I know what it means for you to willingly admit that you're our friend and that you support this industry and the people's right to choice. So thank you so much. God bless you. We'll see you next week on Sweet Home Cannabama, and God bless Alabama Hemp. Good night.